Well, hello and welcome to our contemporary service today from St Andrew's and All Saints in Malvern. It's great to have you with us as we continue to be in this strange period of our second lockdown. And wherever you are watching from today, however you are really welcome, and God is delighted that you have stopped to dwell with him and to reconnect and to realign yourself at the start of this new week. Today, Peter is going to be continuing and actually finishing our series as we've been looking at this book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, over these last few weeks. And Peter's going to be speaking on slowing down today as the final and fourth practice. And we're going to just do that right now and practice a bit of silence and solitude that we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, as I'm going to read some verses really slowly from Psalm 62. And I encourage you to still yourselves. You might like to just pause and go and get a candle to light that you can put next to you. As you hear these words, just allow God to meet you afresh today. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be shaken. My salvation and my honour depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. And I encourage you just to dwell on that last verse particularly. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Let's do that right now. And so whatever your week has been like this week, whether it's been a good week or a really difficult week, whether you come to this service feeling joyful or feeling broken, God is the same. He invites you into his presence and he welcomes you with his great arms of love. Thank you.
behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't He wonderful? Sing alleluia. Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing alleluia, Christ is risen. Oh, what a Savior, isn't He
found. I thank you, Lord, that you are Lord of all. Thank you, Lord, that whoever we are, whatever we've done, whatever our background is, whatever this last week has been, that your arms this morning, your arms this evening, whenever we're watching it, are open wide to demonstrate your great love to us. Lord, as we worship today, lift our eyes to see you, to know you more deeply, to live more closely to the way you've called us to live. In the name of Jesus. Amen. That song at the end said, tell the world of the treasure you found. And we are going to go over to another country now. We're going to go over to Lebanon, where Eloise, one of our young people, has been there for the last few months. We sent her off and prayed for her. She went in September, and she's just made this short video to give us a bit of an update on how she is and what she's been up to and what we can pray for. So let's hear from Eloise.
Hi, everyone. I hope you're doing well, especially with the new lockdown restrictions. Unfortunately, we've had to go into lockdown as well here in Lebanon. We started that on Saturday, which meant that the education centre has had to close, which is such a shame. The kids are absolutely gutted. But it does mean that we're still able to go and visit people in their homes, which has been such a blessing. So, that's what I've been up to at the moment, seeing lots of the children. We've been making lots of these. I don't know if you've seen them before. They're called Scooby-Doos. The kids absolutely love them. So you can add, and you can add your own bees. I currently have these on my keys, which they love doing. And yesterday we were doing rock painting with them. So that was really fun. And also making friendship bracelets. Doing lots of colouring, playing loads of card games. You have to get quite creative because they seem want to move on to the next thing. One thing which God is teaching me at the moment is what it means to be constantly in prayer. At home, if something was on my mind or troubling me, or I was delighted about something, I had so many people to go to. I have my family, my friends, but here, all of those things, they're not with me, and I can't be constantly calling my mum every time something happens. And so I'm just learning that discipline of taking everything to God. I haven't yet mastered it, but and I'm sure I never will, but it is something which I'm becoming more familiar with. In terms of things you can pray for, I just love it if you could praise God for the way I have settled in here. I feel so at home. I absolutely love the people. And please also pray that we would be able to open the centre again at some point in the future, because the kids just adore coming to school and learning. And may you pray also for wisdom in this season where we are making plans day by day but don't have anything set in stone for the long term. Thank you so much. Dave actually asked that I film my video with a Lebanese background, so here it is. This is the gorgeous view from our balcony.
Well, thank you, Eloise. It's so good to be able to see you and hear a little bit of what you've been up to. And we will pray in a moment, and we will continue to pray for you over these coming weeks. Before we do that, and before we the children go off to their activities, I want to just say a little bit about Christmas and what is coming up for Christmas. On our website now, you will see the current details so far of our Christmas services. We're still not quite sure whether in-person services will take place, but many of our services are going to be online and will happen whatever the state of lockdown is. So do have a look on our Christmas page on our website. A couple of things to particularly mention is that a couple of really exciting things we're going to have this year, as we can't have our normal nativity play. We're going to have the Malvern Nativity Trail, and this is going to be really exciting. It's going to start up at All Saints with a display of Mary being visited by Gabriel, and then it's going to visit six or seven households on the way. Before we get to telling different parts of the Christmas story, we're going to have the shepherds, we're going to have the star being seen, we're going to have Jesus being born, we're going to have the innkeeper. It's going to arrive at the vicarage where there's going to be the three wise men, and the trail will finish off at St Andrew's, where there'll be a selfie nativity, so that actually you and your family can have a socially distanced photograph of yourself in the stable and ponder the story. And we're going to be putting more details of this up on the mailing this week and out on social media. But do spread the word. This is going to be really great. And at each different station, there's going to be a little video done by a particular character telling that part of the story. So watch out and spread the word about the Malvern Nativity Trail, which will be up from the 12th of December up until Christmas Eve. Also, what's going to start earlier than that is our online virtual Advent calendar, which is going to start on December the 1st. And each day from December the 1st until Christmas Eve, we're going to have a short 5-minute testimony story from one of our own congregation, a story of hope in dark times. And we're going to put those up on our website. We're going to put them up on Facebook too. And spread the word and share it with your friends. These real life stories of what a difference that God's made and how God can bring hope out of dark times. And we pray that that be a real blessing to many, many people in this difficult season. So there is a little bit of information about Christmas. We'll say some more next week. But just before the children go off to their own activities, which Helen's put together as usual on the website, let's pray, and we'll pray for Eloise too. So Lord, we thank you that the excitement of Christmas is not too far away. And we pray for these special events that we're putting together at Christmas, that they will be a great opportunity to share the good news, the hope of Christmas with our communities. And we pray for our children now. We thank you for each and every one of them. We thank you for those who have been at the early bird service already on Sunday morning. And we pray blessing on them that they may grow and continue to be nurtured in their faith. And as we've heard from Eloise, we thank you for her and we pray your blessing on her in Lebanon. Would you continue to grow her in this time, keep her safe and just use her to bring good news to others in this season. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So off you go, children. And the rest of us are going to just hear some words of a creed, an affirmation of faith shared that I'm going to read now with some pictures. And I'm going to read it slowly. And as I read it slowly, I just want you to ponder on the greatness of God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. And again, in the quiet, align your hearts with his and just hear of who God is. And may that lead you in your own worship into praise of him. We believe in the God who provides for our every need, who has an answer to our deepest questions and a purpose for us in life. Today we praise God, the provider. We believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord, who stands by our side when light turns into darkness, who suffers our pain and turns it into a blessing. For the presence of Christ in our lives, we praise God, the provider. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the breath of life, who inspires us when our spirits are dried up, who creates something new when old structures crumble. For the spirit of hope and renewal, we praise God, the provider. Amen. And we come again to worship all who are thirsty, all who are weak. Come to the table. Come to our God.
Keep your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of his mercy. He cries out to thee, come.
Today's reading is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her."
Hello and welcome to this final episode in our teaching series of Learning to Unhurry. And the whole issue of slowing down. Now, 2.5 years ago, I was on my ordination retreat, and that was being led by a number of senior clergy. And there was one member of those clergy who used to stroll around the retreat centre with a very slow, languid walk. And I actually became quite uncomfortable with his walk. I was offended in some way by the way he would walk around. But during that time, God began to really speak to me through his walk. Because what he began to speak to me is that by walking or pacing through life more slowly, one is able to become more aware of God's presence, to absorb the environment around us, and to stop rushing from one thing to another. Ever since, on many occasions, have I found myself rushing from one place to another, and God has brought me back to the image of that senior cleric walking slowly around the retreat centre and reminded me that I needed to slow down. And in so doing, I've dropped my pace and it stilled my heart, stilled my thinking, and I've been in a much more restful, joyful and peaceful place. That, I think, is the essence of what we're being called to do by slowing down. Now, before I get into this week's scripture, I just want us to reflect back on last week as teaching, which I hope you heard. Barry and I both taught on Matthew 6, where not storing treasure up in heaven, on earth, but store treasure up in heaven. Let me just summarise a couple of points in that teaching last week. Jesus said, don't build up treasure on earth, because it will fade away, but store up eternal treasure in heaven. And he said it's not possible to worship, to honour two masters. You can't worship God as well as the spirit of the age of consumerism and materialism. And Jesus directly related the levels of anxiety and worry we experience with the levels of focus that we put on earthly things. The more we worship earthly prosperity, the more worry and anxiety we will experience. And Jesus then draws us back and concludes, seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness and everything else. All our earthly needs will be met. So that then was a springboard into teaching into simplicity. And if you've not heard that teaching, I really encourage you to go back to the website and listen to Barry or myself in that. But hold that, because I'm going to refer to it in this week's teaching. So let us bring back to the reading this week, a story many of us will be very familiar with. And let me summarise it. Here we have Jesus and his band of disciples arrive in town, and they go to the house of two sisters, Martha and Mary. And the scripture says Martha opened her house up to her. And as we know, Mary then goes and sits at Jesus's feet and dwells in his presence and his teaching, while Martha goes off and gets busy sorting out the food and doing the practical hospitality. And of course, we know that Martha becomes offended by Mary, who isn't helping her. And she challenges Jesus and Mary, but Jesus pushes back on Martha's complaint and refuses to give Mary a hard time. Obviously, my paraphrasing words. Now, a quick health warning for us. About half of us are now beginning to feel slightly condemned, whilst the other half of us are probably feeling rather good about ourselves. Why? Because the reality is that most of us will have started to identify ourselves with either Martha, the activist, the doer, the task-focused minded person, maybe perhaps the extrovert, or you will have been identifying yourself with Mary, perhaps a contemplative natured person, maybe the introvert. Well, I know I'm generalizing, but tell me honestly if you didn't default into identifying yourself with one or the other. Now, Martha generally gets quite a hard time, doesn't she? I've heard endless people criticizing themselves or other people for being like Martha. So let's just for a moment put this into perspective. This event is not about promoting a contemplative personality types like Mary above the activist types like Martha. No, God made them both. But both Mary and Martha are disciples of Jesus. Both Mary and Martha are loved by God, and they love God. Both are honoured by Jesus, but in different ways. So let's just for a moment honour Martha. At the start, Jesus and his disciples arrive in town, and Martha opens her house to him. But it's not just Jesus, it's all those that came with him. It's the disciples as well. And then she goes into hospitality mode. There is love, there is generosity, there's openness, there's hospitality oozing from Martha. This is good, and this is wonderful. Mary, in contrast, of course, goes and sits at Jesus' feet. She goes to dwell or bide with Jesus. But let me just say that if the reflective, contemplative personality types like Mary do nothing but kneel at Jesus' feet 24/7, then of course nothing is going to get done. And in fact, they might even go rather hungry and be grateful for the Marthas of this world. So, as you can hear, I'm sensitive we don't read into this event a condemnation of a certain personality type over another. But what can we learn about slowing down in this passage? What can we recognise from what happens, and particularly from Martha? Well, let's think back to last week's teaching just for a moment. Jesus calls us to seek first the kingdom of God. And here we witness Mary doing what I think is what Jesus was telling us. We witness her sitting at Jesus' feet, abiding in his presence and his teaching. Her posture at that moment is to store up treasure in heaven by abiding with Jesus. But what does Martha do? I believe that Martha also initially sought the kingdom of God first. Why? Because she went off to express her personality, her God-given gifts, a woman of generosity and love and of hospitality. I would argue that doing that, she also was storing up treasure in heaven. Because she was expressing kindness, generosity and hospitality through her unique God-given nature. But what happens is that she then falls foul of Jesus' warning that you can't worship two masters, both God and earthly things, which will lead us to become worried and anxious. Don't we see that, and we read, that Martha becomes distracted by all the preparations. And as a result, she comes into the meeting and complains. She becomes offended because Mary isn't helping her. And Jesus says to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things." Can you see the link here? Martha starts off by expressing her God-given gift of generosity and hospitality. But then she becomes overly absorbed and focused, probably in all the detail and the arrangements. And she becomes distracted by the worldliness of her actions, which leads her to become angry, offended, and probably a little bitter towards Mary. Jesus' message is don't become lost in worldly doing. Slow down. He says, I'm not going to be offended by Mary dwelling and lying at my feet, who has seized at that moment to slow down and abide with him. Martha's desire to sort out the hospitality, I don't believe is wrong or ungodly, but it has overwhelmed her focus and she's missed the point that Jesus is in the house. And therefore, she needs to do that preparation, but then take the opportunity to be with Jesus. Things have become unbalanced. And I think the thing is, for those of us who are more naturally activists, God has made us that way. That is part of our God-given personality. But the danger is that we miss not being with Jesus when he's in the house. Now, we know that Jesus is always in the house. But the thing is, where do we become overly distracted and miss the opportunity to hang out with Jesus, to build our relationship with Jesus, to kneel with Mary at Jesus' feet on a daily basis? We need to slow down. We need, just as that senior cleric did, walk at a slower pace and dwell with Jesus. Now, last week we spoke about simplifying our lives in order to help us seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And this week we're talking about slowing down in order to be able to seek first the kingdom of God. In this passage, I hear Jesus saying, "Peter, Peter, you are worried and upset about many things. Slow down. Do not be overwhelmed with the worldly things. Come, abide with me." Can you hear Jesus saying that to you? Why don't you reread that passage and put your name where there is Martha? So slowing down. Is it really possible to slow down in this busy world of ours? Is it at all possible? It's very difficult, isn't it? And I believe the answer is, of course, yes. But I think we need to recognise that it is a spiritual battle. It requires intentionality. And I think it requires support and encouragement from one another. To slow down in the busyness of this world. It's remembering it's a spiritual battle. We need to be intentional and we need to encourage and support one another. But some of you may be turning around and say, well, why slow down? I rather like the fast and furious elements of life. Well, I can understand that for some of you. But just bear in mind at this moment that research is really, really clear of the problem of mental health in the wealthy, healthy Western world, which is rocketing around. It's well established that when societies reach a certain level of prosperity, our consumerist and materialistic culture then just cause endless mental health issues, and that's expanding exponentially around the Western world. We can't follow two masters. Do we want to store up eternal treasure in heaven, or do we want to store up treasure on earth which will rust and be stolen? Is it really practical to slow down in this busy world of ours? Well, I've said yes, it is. And I recognise that we're in different stages of life. Some of us may be busy in retirement. Some of us may be quite leisurely in retirement. Some of us must be at that stage in busy working lives, young children, and life is just overwhelming at times. I recognise that. And of course, I've been there. But it does take us some intentional activity to go and slow down. If you're feeling, I just don't know how to slow down, then I want to push back to you and say it's not only essential, I think Jesus calls us to, but we need to be able to find ways. And if you are struggling to find ways to slow down in your life, then talk to others, talk to your life group. Quite frankly, call me. I'd love to talk to you if you're really, really struggling about how to do that. Talk to other people in the church and work out how it might look like for you. All of this is critical for us to be the people that Jesus calls us to be the church we're called to be in the world, and to flourish as God calls us to be. So let me just talk about some practical ways in which we might consider slowing down. I want to throw out, what about just walking slower, driving slower, moving through the day slower? It really does make a massive difference, and has to my life. What about taking a day once a month, or perhaps once a term, spring, summer, autumn, away from everything? Take a day off into silence and solitude and spend some time alone. I leave it to you. If you think that's impossible, give me a call. I'd love to talk through about how it might be possible. What about our smartphones? I mentioned this last week. How many apps have we got on our smartphone? When do we look at our smartphone? Do we take our smartphone into the bedroom? Have we got it with us the whole time and we're constantly looking at it? How do we manage our social media better? Do you need the Twitter and the Instagram and the WhatsApp and the Facebook and all the other forms of communication bamboozling you day in and day out? What about just dealing with those things at one moment during the day, rather than the whole day? I invariably try and clear my emails perhaps two times, specifically in two times of the day. First thing in the morning, first thing after lunch, rather than constantly having emails the whole time. Do you have emails on your smartphone? That may be essential for your work or your lifestyle, but question it. Do you need to, so you're constantly seeing them? Could you box those and boundary those things into another part of the world? Or part of your life. The other thing is, I've realised so often I try and multitask. I could be trying to look at my phone, watch the TV and play a game and think about the football scores. Or something like that. Over the last few weeks, what I've been trying to do is, what's the one thing I'm doing? Am I watching television? Then I don't need my phone. Am I looking at the watching the football? Then I don't go and do other things. If I'm playing a game with my family, then I'm not watching the social media or the sport or whatever it is. Not always getting it right, but that's what. And I tell you, it is making my mental health so much easier, better. I'm just feeling calmer. Another option for you. All of this is about allowing God to break in to your world, or for you to be able to connect with God. There are some very practical suggestions, and there are many, many more. But overall, I want to encourage you all to start noticing where you are rushing. Notice in your life where you are hurrying, and start to question why. What's driving you, and what can you do to change? Notice how your life, you live your life, and see how rushed it is. I found myself the other day rushing through the washing up. Now, I don't particularly like doing the washing up. I was quite happy to get it done. But I suddenly thought to myself, what am I rushing to? There wasn't any particular plan. There was just the rest of the evening. And I wanted to get to it. But I had to stop myself and think, stop rushing. Just do the washing up. That's the task of the moment. I encourage you to notice how you live your life and to work out how you can start slowing down. So what's the goal? The goal of all this is to be present with God, to be like a Mary, taking that moment to know that God, it's not about being Mary throughout the whole time, but it's about having God with you and being present with God and his leading throughout the day. So what does it mean for you to slow down? It's not easy, but I think it is an essential part for us to continue to grow and lead healthy, flourishing lives. Now, this week draws to a close this short teaching series on learning to unhurry. We have been teaching about solitude and silence, about recapturing the Sabbath, about living simple lives, and today, of course, about what it means to slow down and to dwell more often and more frequently at Jesus's feet. Those things in themselves are, of course, not the objective. They're all a means to an end. All those things are ancient spiritual habits which enable us to practice the presence of God. And there's two things in there. There's one thing is it's the practice, which means it requires intentionality. It requires us to choose to make some choices about how we do our lives. And then the second thing is about being dwelling and practicing the presence of God. It's knowing the presence of God in the detail of our everyday lives, whether we're in the workplace on our front lines, whether it's at the school gate at our front lines, whether it's in the shopping queue on our front line, whether it is at school, in class, on our front line, wherever it is, meeting our neighbours. It's knowing and having a sense of God's presence and enabling us to be the kingdom people, building the kingdom and doing the things that God calls us to do in our place, in our community. But it does require intentionality. It requires us to know that we're in a spiritual war and it needs encouragement and support from one another. So I encourage us not to come to the end of this teaching program and move on. Next week, we embrace Advent. Now, Advent leads us into Christmas, and who knows what that will look like. But this isn't a frenetic, or can be a frenetic time of year. What does it mean to go through into Advent and through Christmas and into the new year, embracing solitude and silence, embracing the Sabbath, embracing the simplicity of life, and also slowing down? A challenge for us to be talking about and reflecting on in these coming days. So let me finish there. What one degree, perhaps, is the question, what one degree change could you make in your lifestyle in this coming week that would help you to slow down? Bless you. Let me finish with prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you have been teaching us in these last weeks. Help us to slow down, to embrace you. And to be the kingdom people that you call us to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you and speak soon.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that although we are separated physically, we can come together in fellowship to your throne of grace. And we pray now that your Holy Spirit will guide us in our thoughts and our prayers. It's strange to think that when John Mark Comer wrote the book about unhurrying a year ago, he didn't know that we were going to be in the situation we are now, but the Lord knew. And it's amazing to think how we have been taken into an enforced lockdown of silence and slowness and opportunities to reflect in solitude. For some of us that has been easy, for others it's been extremely difficult. And Lord, we pray that you will give us grace to accept this time from your hand and to use it to draw closer to you. And we do pray for those who are suffering with the solitude, that you will draw close to them and they may know your presence. Lord, we pray at this time for our nation and America and all the other parts of the world which are in turmoil. We pray for wisdom and guidance, that those who don't know what to do may be led into the right paths, and those who are doing the wrong thing may receive a check and a corrective from your Spirit. We pray for Christians in politics and in aid agencies here and throughout the world, that they may speak your peace and your wisdom into the situations where they are and bring your comfort and your grace and healing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our local community, and we want to pray blessing on those shops and other businesses that are in a second lockdown, and for people who are troubled and anxious and desperate in many cases about the future of their business, the future of their finances. And we pray for just settlements for them, Lord, and that when lockdown ends, they may be restored and able to resume their work. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for each other within our fellowship of St. Andrew's and All Saints, and those others who are worshipping with us from all over the world. And we particularly lift to you those who have particular troubles at the moment. We ask for your continued blessing and healing and balm for the Powell family, for Josh and Penny, for Kevin and Sue, and for Zoe's parents, that you will bring blessing and healing and guidance into their situation for the future as it unfolds. And we take a moment now to be quiet together and bring to the Lord those who are on our hearts and minds at this time. And now will you join me in saying those words that Jesus taught his disciples, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
So as we come to the end of our service today, we're going to finish with one more song before the blessing. And this song is Lord, Reign in Me. And as we finish this series today, looking at how to unhurry and these different practices, all of that has been about us wanting to be more aware of the presence of God in our lives and to be following God more closely and allowing God more role and reign in our lives. And so as we sing this, Lord, Reign in Me, we sing it as a response to this whole series. To just say that more than anything, we want to strip away and we want to know God more closely and we want God to reign in us. And if actually you're sitting there feeling, I don't feel that today and I can't really sing that with all honesty, then actually pray. Pray that God would give you the desire to say that, that he would give you the desire to sing it. Lord, reign in me. Well, thank you for being with us today. Just want to remind you again that we have our Friday 12 prayer this Friday and next Friday too. It's been really good the last couple of Fridays to see several people, many people coming in person to St Andrews and just finding God in the silence and in the space. I know many of you have also been praying at home and Zooming in with us. And we'll do exactly the same again this coming Friday and the Friday afterwards. And if lockdown continues, we'll keep doing it all the Fridays of lockdown. But it's a great place to come and live out what we've been learning even more. And so a final prayer, a final blessing. Let's say this together, shall we? Fill our lives, Holy Spirit of God, with joy and love and hope. Live in us so that we can show others how much you love them. Amen. And may God the Spirit empower and transform us. May God the Son inspire us to follow him. And may God the Father surround us with his love. Amen. God bless everybody. We continue to pray for you all, and do pray for us too. And we look forward to you joining us again. Prayers on Friday and our services next Sunday.